family consisting of
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and joining me today is author Lisa Pankow. Lisa grew up in Texas and Oklahoma, the middle child in a family consisting of three daughters. She has always been a serious, goal-oriented person with an unyielding passion for education and a deeper understanding of human strengths, foibles, and the seemingly winding path of our spiritual evolution. She has a degree in business administration and business management and is currently pursuing an advanced degree in philosophy. As a divorcee and a widow, she has experienced life at both ends of the spectrum, from the depths of dread and despair to the untold bliss of true love. Beyond Seduction is her first book. Lisa is currently working on a course for individuals seeking to deepen their love bond, and another book which will be a guide for couples who want to develop, strengthen, and maintain a profound love that lets them love without limits. Lisa currently resides in Roatan, Honduras, and her website is beyondseductionlovingwithoutlimits.com. So that said, welcome, Lisa, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me as a guest today, Ms. Watson. I appreciate the opportunity very much. I'm most excited about our conversation today.
Oh, me too, definitely. Well, please tell us a little bit about Roatan and what really brought you to Honduras.
That's an interesting story. My mother divorced some years ago, about 20 years ago, I guess, and she married a man, and she was only 50, and she said, you know what, we're going to move, and I'm going to retire. And I just died laughing, and they did move, and she did not retire.
No.
This little tiny island called Roatan, where she got involved in real estate.
Mm.
So she calls me on the phone and said, Lisa, guess what? I found this really great piece of property, because she's always been a lover of real estate. She has always loved real estate and has always been involved in something in real estate. So she says, you need to buy this, you need to buy this, you need to buy this. So that was in 1996. So my husband and I came to Roatan. We looked at several different properties and did some things, and we wound up investing here. Well, in 2004, my husband passed away, and it was very difficult to stay in the setting that I was in. My mother was in Honduras. She was in Roatan, and so I decided to come to Roatan to heal and recover from the stuff that was going on in the States. And as soon as I got here, she left. I said, Mom, this wasn't my idea of how things were supposed to go. So that's how I wound up in Roatan.
And so you've been there for several years. It's a tropical climate. I mean, it's beautiful down there.
Oh, it's absolutely exquisite. I've been here for 4 years full time. We've been coming here for 14. So It is absolutely beautiful. Blue, blue waters, about 80, sometimes 95 degrees, you know, 87, 95. Beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous fish, beautiful reef. It's absolutely exquisite. Very nice.
Now, is this where you began writing Beyond Seduction?
Yes, I did start writing my book here in Roatan. I found myself very much more alone than I had thought. I had a lot of time on my hands, so I thought, you know what? I need to do something. And what happened, it was interesting because there was this woman who was saying, you know, we live on this beautiful island, and we were sitting out on our deck, and we were talking and looking at the beautiful ocean, and we did not have one word to say to each other. And I wasn't feeling well, and I looked at her, and I said, well, why not? She said, well, he asked me to watch soft porn. And I just died laughing. I said, well, at least it wasn't hard porn. She didn't appreciate my humor very much, and so I just said, no, I don't think that's, I don't think that's so bad. I said, what was he watching?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, she didn't know, and of course she didn't ask. And I said, well, you know, have you asked him what his fantasies are? And they'd been married for 10 years, and she'd never asked, and he'd never told her, and she never told him what her fantasies were. So I said, you know, you should ask. And you know, to make a long story short, I was gone for 2 months I came back and they were acting like young teenagers in love and holding hands. But what happened was it was the realization that I had lost my husband who I loved so much. And these people had somebody who they cherished and they said I do for some reason. But they forgot. Mm. And they don't take care of it and they don't cherish it and relish it until it just disappears for no really good reason. You know, you don't realize what you have, you don't stop and take care of it the way that you should.
Mm.
And so it was just upsetting for me to watch all of my friends say, oh, you know, I don't like my husband this or that, and to listen to the men and the mean things they do, and no reason for it. And so I thought, you know what, if somebody just maybe reminded us of what it is that we're supposed to be doing, that you can lose at any moment, and not that you stand around in fear,
mm-hmm.
but you may not have it forever.
And this was the inspiration for your book.
That was the inspiration for the book, as crazy as it sounds. That's what happened.
That's amazing. So were you involved did you read relationship books when you were married? What was your marriage like?
Well, that's an excellent question, and one that I have a really difficult time with. This is because I married, I was 21 when I married, and I thought I was old.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So I look at that now and go, oh, what was I thinking? But I was only married for 4 years when I got a divorce, and I absolutely do not believe in divorce. But I did get a divorce, and I had been reading relationship books before. But after I got a divorce, I just went crazy because I took that so personal and could not understand why I failed.
Mm.
And it took me a long time to understand that, A, love doesn't mean the same to everybody, and, B, we all have different expectations of what a marriage is.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really understand it was that different. So, yes, I've been reading relationship books and articles and everything that I could find on anything for about 20-something years now.
Do you think it's those two things that are really, in general, why we have so many problems when it comes to intimate relationships?
I think those are huge contributors, absolutely. I think that a lot of times we have a romanticized idea, or sometimes we just don't understand that life could be really that different. I didn't realize that I came from a very loving background, and I just didn't realize that sometimes people don't have that luxury. And it was really pretty shocking to me as an adult to learn that sometimes people have pretty tough background and growing up, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that really shapes how we feel about intimate relationships. And I didn't realize to the depth of how that actually molds it.
Yes, clearly. So do you think then, Lisa, that for a healthy relationship, really one in which both partners are feeling completely fulfilled, it takes a conscious decision to take the relationship there?
Without a doubt. If you two are not on the same page, and that was one of the things that I found with my late husband, was that we were both committed to marriage. I did everything so wrong on my first marriage. He did not want to be married. There were so many things that I did so wrong, and I thought, you know what, nobody has ever loved him, and I felt sad that he didn't get what I had been so generously given, that he didn't want that, and it didn't make sense to me that somebody wouldn't want to be loved. My second husband, we made a very conscious and solid decision with the intent to be married and stay married together. And when we made that decision, we decided that, you know, marriage is not, okay, well, let me back up for a minute. I'm going to have to say this because somebody's going to say something. I was his fourth wife.
Oh!
Yeah. So he didn't feel quite about it than I did, but he really was looking for a long-lasting marriage.
Mm.
And so I think that when you go in with that intention to be married and stay married, and not with the intention of, well, you know, if it works out, that's great, and if it doesn't, you know, yeah, we'll just move on. When you go in with the heart and the intent of this is what's important, I think it just makes all of the difference in the world. And if you two are looking at the same things, if you like to be physical and not in a sexual way, but if you like to hold hands, or if you like to touch each other when you sit on the sofa, you know, give a foot massage or a back massage or something, that just makes all the difference in the world. Whereas if one of you says, don't sit beside me, and the other one wants to sit beside you, you know, don't touch me, and the other one wants to be touched or wants to touch you, you know, mm-hmm. that is just so much more difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I hear what you're saying. So what does the title, Beyond Seduction, Loving Without Your Limits, really mean?
To me, what that really means and what I would like to convey is that we take marriage very superficially a lot of times, because when we think about marriage, we immediately think about sex, because, you know, when you get married, then you have to have sex, then you have babies, and then you do this, and then you do that. And really, during the courting time, somebody's trying to seduce the other one because you got to get their attention enough to get them to say, I do.
Mm.
What happens is that when you actually get married, it goes beyond that. It goes to a deeper level, which is the levels of intimacy, and depending on who you ask, there's 5 to 12 different levels of intimacy. Not levels, but different types of intimacy. And really, the very, very significant ones are emotional, social, and for men, it's physical, women too. But, you know, we've got to make sure all those things are there. But after we get married, we stop. We don't seduce our husbands anymore, and they don't seduce us anymore. But more than the physical act of sex, we don't stop and do an emotional seduction of the partner, so we still feel the intimacy and the love that we had that when you're dating. And then the without limits part is that we can learn to love one another without having the limitations that we put on each other by whatever it is that we're doing. You don't have to, you know, if he does this or you do that, it doesn't mean that we stop loving each other. It means that this behavior is not acceptable, but it doesn't mean we don't love you. We learn to accept you, and you learn to accept us for who we are and the way that we are, and appreciate us as that, instead of trying to impose some judgment of what we think about that, because really a judgment is not fair, and that's all it is a judgment, and we need to be more accepting and loving of our partners for who they are and what that really means.
Mm. And this really, I know, is one of the strongest messages, or a few of the strongest messages in your book. It's the whole idea of unconditional love and acceptance.
Absolutely. And people say unconditional love is not possible. Without a doubt, until I die, I will swear that it is. That does not mean that, you know, something that goes against your moral code is not something you must tolerate. But it was like Ed grew up with this background of he had to argue and fight. It took me a long time to understand that that wasn't against me. It wasn't an attack or an affront on me. It was what he learned, and that was how he managed and functioned in life. And it didn't mean anything, but I had to accept that this is what it was. Now, I would chew on him, but I understood it didn't mean anything and that he had to stop, but part of that pattern was I had to chew on him or he wouldn't quit. So it was, you know, and we were working on that when he died. It took me a long time to figure out that's what it was, but, you know, so it's about being accepting of your partner for who they are as the human that they are, because the things that drive us the most crazy are also sometimes the things that you know, if we admit it or not, are the things that we find maybe endearing or whatever, and you go, yeah, I can't understand that. And it doesn't matter if you can understand it or not. Do you accept the person for who they are and the way they do? So it doesn't mean that you have to accept something that goes against your moral code. It just means that you don't pass judgment against the person for who they are, and you let them live in their own skin, and you appreciate and love them for the person that they bring to you every single day of your life together. And that's all that really means.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so what happens when there is a particular behavior that one of the partners just cannot tolerate? It just really goes beyond what they find acceptable. How do you suggest they deal with that?
Well, I think a lot of times it really depends on what it is. And I think that sometimes we get so upset about other things that really are not true to what it is that we're looking at. And so I think that what they do is they should talk to them and just explain what it is that this is bothering me because of whatever reason it is, whatever it is, this is bothering me. But see, first you have to understand what it is that's bothering you. And don't make it about 50 things. It has to be this one thing that's bothering you, and, you know, what it is. You have to get to the source of what it is, because you can think that it's something, and it's not.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can make it about 50 other things, but if you go to the person and you say, you know, it really hurts me when you do this. Now, if it's going against your moral code, that's a whole other issue, and you may need to have professional counseling to do it. Professional counseling doesn't mean that you failed. Professional counseling means you need to recognize what it is that, and so you can both get to the bottom of what it is that you need and to be able to deal with it, but you have to listen with an open heart, and your partner needs to be accepting to hear it. If it's something that you absolutely cannot do, you've got to figure out a way to work through it, or eventually the relationship breaks.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing you say really is that it's imperative that you know yourself to be in a relationship like this, and also communication, which is, I mean, we hear that, it is really...
We hear that cliche word all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though you communicate, you know, so it's kind of like, oh, wow, were you really going to say that again?
Yeah.
It is communication, and absolutely, if you don't know who you are, it's not reasonable. And I was thinking about this, and I was 34 or 35 when my husband died. And so it impacted me a little bit differently, because most of the time we don't lose our spouses until we're older. So it made me reassess and think about things from a different level. But it is so important that you understand what your needs are, why you have those needs, and then how you can communicate or relate that to your partner in a loving way that they can hear and that they can understand. And it absolutely is about, you know, and it sounds selfish, it is about you. It is about you and your partner, because there are two people in the relationship, and you both have to be fair to each other. And if you can't express or share that, you can't be upset at that other person for not being able to understand, because if you can't understand it, why are you so upset with them because they can't?
Mm-hmm. How can they? Right.
Exactly. No, they can't, and it's true. And they, you know, that goes to do with the intimacy and the physical side of things too. So many times women do not understand the bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so sad, because women are treated differently than men. And, you know, this is not about bashing or anything else. This is just what happens. I know in my house, we did not discuss sex. My mother went and got a book and said, you know what, this is a really great book. You should read this. If you have any questions, ask me.
She
didn't really want to talk about it. Even then, you know, she would if I made her, and I'm extremely verbose about all kinds of things, and I will get to the bottom of whatever. You know, I got to know. There has got to be a reason or an answer to that. I mean, it has to be. So I'll hunt until I find it.
That's funny. Well,
so,
you're lucky you got a book.
I did, and I guess that was another thing. I was 12 when I read the relationship book. So, you know, what you're supposed to do to find your perfect mate. So, you know, it's just we're conditioned from so tiny, so young, at what's acceptable and what's not. And then as we grow up, we're not always taught how to communicate and relate that, and that, A, it's not bad for you to know who you are and to know your body and know what you like and know what you need. That's not a bad thing. And B, to be able to share and express that, there is no more loving expression than to be able to share that kind of a bond with that precious and special person in your life, your spouse,
mm-hmm.
if that's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I have to have a spouse.
Right.
I don't necessarily want, you know, and that's just a personal thing. But
that's your,
you know,
choice.
So many times, absolutely, it's just my choice and just how I think about things. But it doesn't mean that I think anything about anything else. Those who can do it without that, I hats off to you, because I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that comfortable yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I go, oh, are you sure?
Well, I want you to speak to our audience a little bit about what you have written about in Beyond Seduction, how you've sort of outlined this book, what's a little different here than what they might find in another relationship book.
My book, I think, is very, very different, because most of the psychology books that I read, the relationship books that I've read, all the articles and all those things, they are focused and geared toward which problems do you see. You know as well as I do that we can always find 10 million problems or more, no matter what we're looking at. It doesn't matter if it's a relationship or if it's your dog or your cat. It doesn't matter. You can always find many, 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 many problems. My book is more geared toward let's find a solution to what the issues are, and let's see how we can work them out. I think the thing that makes my book very, very different is a lot of people say, you know what, that's a very common sense approach, and it is, but we still forget. Our divorce rate is so, so high, and just the things that I've heard my friends say about their spouses or their mates is absolutely heartbreaking. It bothers me so much because to be able to share your life with another human is absolutely a very precious gift. And if you are so fortunate to have that precious gift, why not cultivate it and make it blossom and bloom to the depths that are absolutely inexplicable when you actually find it and get to share it with somebody else? Why not take that little bitty extra step to do those things that you know pleases you or that you know pleases him? Why not do that and just take your relationship to that level that is so far beyond what so many of us think that a relationship is? So I think that what I did in my book that was different is that instead of focusing on problems, we look at, okay, we all know that we have problems. Let's say we're having a difficult time communicating. There's an excellent book called The Five Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman. He is absolutely wonderful, and he says, listen to how your partner is speaking to you and then speak in that way. You know, speak to them in that manner where they can hear what you need and they can feel loved and appreciated and respected. And if they're not familiar with that, it's acts of service, giving of gifts, quality time, physical touch, and words of acknowledgement, basically. So when you feel most loved is when those things are, whichever one you speak, you two can communicate about that. The other thing is communication and friendship. That's absolutely critical. When you're best friends, you talk about everything. And I can't count the number of people who have marriages of 40 years plus, those are best friends.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who don't make it, those are not best friends. Every single time they'll say, my best friend is my buddy John over here, instead of my best friend is my wife Mary. And every single time they say, we are best friends. It's just...
That's incredible. It's definitely key.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Hi there. Are you looking for new ways to promote your book? Why not consider being interviewed live? With the huge impact internet radio as well as podcasting is making in our society, your voice can now be heard worldwide. Let Juanita at Inside Scoop Live create the necessary steps for you. You will not only receive a web page of your own, but your interview will be available for MP3 download and RSS feed. As well, your interview will be posted on venues such as iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Alley, and the Inside Scoop Live blog. Go to InsideScoopLive.com today for more information. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. I'm talking today with Lisa Pankow. Her new book, Beyond Seduction, Loving Without Limits, is on shelves now. Her website is BeyondSeductionLovingWithoutLimits.com. I'm wondering what, you know, you mentioned the divorce rates being so high. I wonder what the average length of a marriage is these days.
You know, it is so skewed today because a lot of people aren't marrying. A lot of people don't marry. They live together, so you don't actually see what the divorce rates are and how long someone is together. But typically people will, and that's the other thing that my book talks about, is our growth as humans. I know that a lot of people have heard of the seven stages of man. Because we grow as humans throughout our life and we transition through different things, and you can attribute it to whatever you want to attribute it to, astrology or whatever. It doesn't make any difference what you call it. I don't care, and it doesn't matter to me what you call it. The fact is we all grow and change, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us are going to grow and change faster than others, but it doesn't matter. And this is one of the things, you know, when our little tiny babies are growing up, we are so accepting and loving of our little babies because we know exactly what they're going through because we've already done it. We are not that accepting of our partner or our spouses because we don't know what they're going through and we don't understand it and it's all foreign. And then when we transition through it, we don't understand it either because we don't know what we're doing. Now, some of us may have seen our parents go through that or whatever, but we don't always recognize it or see it when we're growing through it. So, you know, when we're looking at those things and we're looking at marriages in general, there's between 4 and 8 years that your first 4 and 8 years, a lot of people will divorce after 2 because they think they're out of love because they don't feel that giddy feeling anymore. But that giddy feeling, you can have it after however many years. I still had it when we'd been together for 10 years and we still had that.
And
love kind of thing.
I've seen on your website or in your writing somewhere that you really do claim that it's possible to maintain that honeymoon feeling for a lifetime. And that's incredible. And I think that will come as a major shock to a lot of people.
It absolutely is possible, but I'm going to tell you the secret. And the secret is that you have to communicate, you have to know yourself, and you have to put yourself out there just a little bit. Because if you don't make yourself vulnerable, you're never going to get to those deeper levels of trust and of respect and of love. You'll never get there. So vulnerability is a nasty, nasty word, and I don't like it myself. But if you don't put yourself out there, you're not getting there. So those people who withhold and hold back and don't express and don't share, they miss so much in life, and there is no reason to miss it. There's no reason. But you have to put yourself out there a little bit, and then you have to share, and you have to open up and express. And it's not that bad. And if you will preface it by saying, you know what, this is really difficult for me, and I want you to understand that I love you very, very much, and I want to try to do this, but could you please be patient with me to work through this? And you know what, most of the time your partner is going to say, geez, you know what, I didn't realize that. You just, you know, you seem like everything's good and you're happy and okay, and tell me what I can do to help you through this.
So honesty as well.
You better be honest. That's about communication. You better tell them exactly what it is. And I'm not saying be mean or ugly, because being mean and ugly doesn't fix anything, and it doesn't make it any better. But when you come out and you say, you know, I'm really having a difficult time with this, they appreciate the vulnerability that you express, and they appreciate the opportunity for you to trust. Now, if they violate that trust, that's a whole other story, and it causes you to take a different bend and go in a different direction. And, you know, it does hurt the relationship. It doesn't kill it. You just understand that there are particular things you can't be vulnerable about. So, you know, and that affects the depth of the love bond that you can reach. But it absolutely, without a doubt, is possible to have the fairy tale and live it for a lifetime. Absolutely, without a doubt.
You are so inspirational in the way that you convey your message. It really is powerful.
Oh, yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. I sure hope so, because love is so precious. It is so special, and it is something that we take for granted.
And it's there for all of us if we want it, right, and if we'll work for it.
Every single person. And you know what the thing is yeah, that's another thing. It's not really that much work.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do it anyway. Are you going to go to the grocery store and buy groceries sometime this week or next week? This month you're going to buy groceries, right?
Sure.
Okay. So if you know that the love of your life really loves whatever they love, and you know it, and you can pick up that one little thing that just makes him know that you are thinking about only him, it just puts him on cloud nine for no reason other than the fact that you said, hey, you know what, I was thinking about you today, and I know that you love this, and I just wanted to share this with you, and I want you to know that I just think you're precious and I love you so much. You go to the store, why not?
Right. It's so easy, really.
It is so easy, and people will say, marriage doesn't take work, or it takes so much effort. It really isn't. And the other thing that I have learned is that when you are focused, and he is your desire, and he is focused, and you are his desire, it sounds silly, but really it is so true that when you are focused on what can I do to please him, and I don't mean, if people take that wrong all the time, it doesn't mean that you have to go do something crazy. It means it's stuff like that. You know, what is it that I know? I know that you love mint chocolate chip ice cream, and I saw this today, and I thought of you, and I just want you to know how much I love you. Mint chocolate chip ice cream doesn't mean anything except that you were thinking about him, and he knows that you know how good it makes him feel to have mint chocolate chip ice cream. So then he feels like you love him because you have stopped and you have bought him mint chocolate chip ice cream, which costs you $2.39.
Mm.
And so then he says, geez, what can I do to make her feel happy? You know what, I think I'm going to come in and help her cook dinner, or maybe help her clean up, or I'm going to bring her drinks, or I'm going to whatever it is that he does. And then she goes, man, you know, he really loves me. Do you know what he did for me today? And it's just a self-perpetuating thing that takes 5 minutes of your life, and it brings you so much closer and doesn't mean a thing.
Mm.
You're going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I know that probably readers of your book will be predominantly women. So what are some tips for women to get their partners to read your book and pick up on some of these secrets?
Okay, absolutely. That is not going to be difficult. I have more male readers that I have sold my book to than I have female readers.
Really?
The women, all without a doubt, and the men love it. And what I have learned is absolutely most fascinating. Men are not what women think. Men absolutely want the intimacy and the closeness and the vulnerability. Now, they remember that men kind of got shafted because everybody says, don't show emotion. And then they grow up and get married, and the women say, how come you can't show emotion? <You know? laughs> Those poor guys just get whipped all over because society is demanding one way, and your wife is at home saying, I can't understand. Well, you know, this is part of our evolution as humans, and we need to be just a little more patient and understanding with it and help them grow through that so you can experience them on that level. But men, the men that I have spoken to, absolutely want to be heard, and they absolutely want to be loved, and they absolutely want to love somebody the way that women want to love the men. It is not a one-sided thing like we think, and I don't think it's going to be that difficult to do. And the trick is, there are some women in some lingerie in my book. That is what my late husband really liked. The trick is what does he need? What does he like? If he doesn't like lingerie, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
What does he like? What makes him feel special and loved and excited? Whatever that is, do that. Does he want you to go watch a game? You know what? Choke it up, swallow it. Go figure out how you can make it fun. You know? Does he want you to go watch him tear down a motor? Figure out something, some way that you can do it together where you can enjoy it together. Then ask him to give a little bit for you, and he will. He'll be ecstatic to do it for you because he is that important to you that you will stop and do that and see what he's doing. And that's the please me and I'll please you. And women always say, but what about me? Mm-mm, there is no what about me, because he will absolutely shower you. He'll drown you with his love and affections if you will just focus on him.
I think that's so interesting because your approach is not cookie cutter. It's really to find out specifically what that person really wants, because, you know, one woman may want to be brought flowers on a regular basis. Another woman, flowers don't mean anything to her. It may be something else. So I love the approach that you have.
Well, it's absolutely true. We're humans, and we are so different. And so you can't – so anybody who reads my book, and I've said it repeatedly through there, but they still miss it. This is not the answer. This was the answer that made my husband do the things that he did and want to love me and shower me with all the things that he did. And so it doesn't work for everybody that way. That's why you have to know you. It's absolutely critical. If you don't know you, you better stop and find out. Get quiet. Get to your soul. Hear what you need and express that in a loving way. This doesn't mean be mean or anything else. It just means, you know, this is where I'm coming from. I love you so much. I want to share this with you, and I want to experience this with you. Most people are not going to say, take a flying leap.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, that was really interesting. You know, they may think about it for a little bit, and then they'll come back and say something. Some people may not know what to do with that, but it doesn't mean anything. It just means give them a little bit of time and help them work through it. It's absolutely amazing.
How far into the bedroom do you go in this book, Lisa?
Well, let's see. There are actually several different ways that you can look at it. I think there's something that we call essentials, and that is what you can do to stimulate, put in some sizzle and take out the fizzle, if you will, and what you can do to play with your spouse or whatever. One of the things that I really love is Egyptian comb cotton sheet. People absolutely underestimate a bed. People always think that a bed is about sex. Mm-mm-mm. Bed is not about sex. I have a bad back, and it is absolutely about a good night's sleep. But the second thing about a bed is the sheet, and it is not a satin sheet. It is the Egyptian cone cotton that is so exquisite on your body. Your skin is the largest organ of your body. Why not indulge the senses of your whole entire body, and it doesn't have anything to do with sex? has to do with getting in the bed and feeling so good with the sheets around you. Sometimes, you know, we don't. Who talks about sheets? Nobody.
Sure.
Nobody talks about sheets.
Mm-mm. Or the bedroom setting. It really is important.
It is so important. And it is so critical, I think. The other thing is what moves you? They have done all kinds of research on aromatherapy. Coffee beans make you feel happy. They stimulate a happy endorphin, a pleasure endorphin in your brain that causes you to feel happy. The smell of coffee. It is not the taste, and it is not the cup of coffee. It is the aroma or the smell of the coffee. There are other scents and smells that I particularly love that I will use if I want to affect somebody in a particular mood, tone, or way. Lavender is absolutely essential, and it is in my house. So one of the things that I say in the bedroom that is essential is aromatherapy candles. Some people like incense. I don't particularly care what you do. Put a scent in the room. Put a scent in the room because it absolutely triggers and stimulates a different part of the brain that does cause you to feel. Without a doubt, it causes you to feel, and you feel differently. You may feel sexy. You may feel tired and want to relax. Doesn't matter. Whatever mood I want to solicit from whoever it is, if it's a guest in my home, I'll put a different scent outside in the living area so they feel happy and invigorated. If it's in the bedroom, I'll put in usually some kind of rose or something like that. And absolutely in the bathroom is rose, sandalwood, chamomile, something like that, and lavender in the bubble bath. Bubble baths are absolutely wonderful, and men will not tell you no. I don't care how macho they are. I don't mean rose petals and all that stuff. If you want to do that, fine. Give his favorite snack and his favorite drink. Be quiet in the tub. Turn off the lights, light some candles, put in lavender or some, if you don't want lavender and you want something sexy, put in something rose, sandalwood, chamomile, something like that that will lang lang, that will emote the sexy part of the brain, you know, make you feel sexy.
Mm-hmm.
And turn on nice music and relax and spend the time to talk to your partner and hear what they have to say. And, you know, it sounds like silly stuff, but it is so true. It's the music, it's the candles. Men love to look. They love to watch. There's nothing wrong with that. Why not light some candles and let them see in the candlelight? They love that. And it's a really nice way to spend some time together. You can relax in the bath with some wine if you like wine. You can relax in the bed. I like a feather every once in a while. I don't think you should tickle anybody, but feathers are really, really nice. It feels good on the body. It's a different sensation. And sometimes a blindfold is absolutely exquisite. You take away the sensation of vision, and so smell is heightened. And I do it for the sensation of smell and sometimes for the sensation of touch. But when you take that away, they focus on the smells and all the other senses that they have that they can use to be aware of what's going on around them. So,
it heightens,
you know,
the other senses.
Heightens everything.
Mm.
So it just depends on what you're trying to do, you know, what you want them to do. If you want them to relax, if you want them to experience, you know, whatever your goal is. You know, you can do so many things to just make it so much sweeter and nicer. And it can absolutely involve sex, but it doesn't have to.
And it's also simple.
It is so simple. That is one thing that I told my mom. I said, you know, she said, well, you need to do costumes. And I said, no, you don't ever do anything that's too involved. If it's too involved, people won't participate. And the goal here is to get people involved again in the love of their life. And if it takes too much effort, then it's not going to do it. So if you've got candles in the house, and most people do, if you've got wine in the house, and most people do, or whatever you like to drink, most people do, you know, if you've got some of these little things that absolutely don't mean anything at all, they can mean everything in the world, and your partner feels so good and so loved, and it doesn't take hardly any time at all. You're going to take a bath. You may take a shower, but you're still going to bathe.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. It just doesn't take that much. It really doesn't.
You know, I'm wondering if you really surprised your friends when you came out with your book.
I got in the most trouble from my mother.
Did you?
She goes, Lisa, are you sure that you really should be writing this? And I said, oh, no, this really is no big deal. And, you know, whatever crazy thing came over me to think that while I was writing the book, I don't know what it was, but as soon as I got done, I said, oh, what have I done? Oh, my gosh, I've got to take this back.
I think it's great to be that honest and candid, though. People really appreciate it.
Well, I think that's kind of what got me where I am. And so I didn't mean to be quite that honest or candid. And like I said, I don't know what happened or why I did it, but now it's too late. So it's out there.
Well, and you have other projects on the go that are really stemming from this. So, you know, this is a very interesting path that you're taking now in your life.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that what I'd really love to do is a couples retreat.
Mm-hmm.
Because we get busy and we forget. And so part of the classes that I want to do, I'll do that and then offer the couples retreat as well to, you know, a exotic place. Obviously, you don't want to go out your back door, but, you know, you want to go somewhere where you can actually stop and focus. And then to do a guide for newlyweds, because I think if we start before we get married, we're not so shocked and surprised. Nobody ever tells you, what's going to happen in a marriage. I mean, not that they know, but you do know that particular things are going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
So it does.
Mm-hmm. That's a great, great project. I love that. When do you think you'll be coming out with your second book?
Well, I think I'm going to work on that and have that ready for the first part of next year. So if I don't have it done this year, it'll be like January or whatever. So I'm going to work on that over the next couple of months.
That's fantastic. Well, you really know your stuff, Lisa. This has been a great, great talk. I mean, incredibly informative and educational for our audience. I'm so happy that you joined us today. This is great.
Well, thank you so much. It's absolutely my pleasure, and I appreciate so much the opportunity to get to visit with you and to be available for your audience to hear. Thank you so much for that opportunity.
Oh, for sure. So let's mention your website again. It's Beyond Seduction, lovingwithoutlimits.com. It's your book title. And readers can pick up your book through your website, or as well, I know it's on Amazon and can be purchased through local booksellers.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Well, thank you again. Is there any final thoughts that you want to leave us with today, Lisa?
You know, I think the most important thing is to appreciate the love that you have and treat it like it's something that you absolutely cherish and believe is precious. I think that's the most important thing. When you believe that with your heart and your soul, everything else is easy.
You're an inspiration. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day. Thank
you
so much.
Take care.
Mm-hmm.
All right, listeners, that's been Lisa Pankow. Her book, Beyond Seduction, Loving Without Limits, is out now. Her website is the same, beyondseductionlovingwithoutlimits.com. Lots of information up there about Lisa, her book, about aromatherapy, about Honduras, and a very great book, and I know that you've enjoyed this interview today, so I want to thank you for tuning in again to Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.